Okay, guys, welcome to our first section of revision. This is section one, the hospitality industry. Now, as you open up your books and we're looking through the revision topics, what I'll do is every now and then I'll tell you to pause or tell you to stop. That's a time to pause the CD or on your MP3 player or your iPod, and to then do a little revision activity based on the content that we've just covered. And what I'll do is I'll cover ideas within those times that you can use within your revision. Okay, let's make a start. So as you see at the top of page two, we've got two different types of catering establishments, commercial and non-commercial. And if you read down through the descriptions, you're going to see that you've got this idea of commercial establishments being ones that sell food to make a profit. That doesn't mean that they guaranteed make a profit, but it means their intention is to make money. Okay, so commercial means an intention to make money. And examples of this are things like restaurants and takeaways. A non-commercial is a place that doesn't necessarily need to make a profit, or their intention is to either break even. So this might be something like the school canteen. It might even be something like a soup kitchen, where they're actually providing a service for different people. Okay, and then in terms of other types of catering, we've got residential and non-residential. Residential is ones that they actually provide a bed. So for example, bed and breakfast or a hotel. And non-residential is where people don't have a bed for the night. So for example, things like restaurants. The only other type that's on that page is to do with contract catering. Now, if you have a good read of the content that's there, you will find out that contract catering is when we hire in somebody to actually provide us with a service that's outside of a normal premises. So for example, if I'm hiring someone in to do the cooking for my wedding, or if I'm hiring someone to do a special event like a birthday party or an anniversary. And people come in, they bring their own equipment, they bring their own food, and they actually provide a service at the place that I want them to provide it. Obviously, this is a little bit more expensive and requires quite a lot of planning. And it tends to be that within contract catering, they would cook the food either before they turn up to the venue, or they may cook some of it at the venue, but it's going to be fairly straightforward and simple, because purely and simply, they're going to struggle to produce the sorts of food because they're not in their own kitchen. All right. So the advantages of hiring in somebody to do something like a party or an event is that they organize everything for you, they clean up everything, and they obviously take everything away at the end of the day, which obviously makes an event that you're organizing that much more straightforward. Okay, so as a page one, that's fairly straightforward content, all right? And if you're revising it, you just need to revise the definitions. And you can obviously do this by just writing out maybe some little revision cards with some brief descriptions of what those keywords are. Okay, if you want to take a break now and do that, that's great. Okay, on page three, we're looking at types of food service. Now, in every exam, there's always a question on food service, so you need to get to know all of these different forms of food service, and I would suggest doing a little revision card based on each type of food service. Okay, so cafeteria service, you should be used to this. This is what we have within the canteen. The food is ready-made and it's served at the counter. The advantage is, as you know, you can serve lots of people really quickly, because within the school canteen, we serve hundreds and hundreds of people within the space of an hour. And you don't need very many staff, and they don't need to be highly skilled, okay? The disadvantages is that we've got to keep food for a really long time, so it can deteriorate, and obviously that you guys have to queue when you go to the canteen. Okay, fast food service, these are things like your takeaways within the town, things like the chip shop, things like the Chinese. And obviously when you come to a fast food service, you order your food and you get the food all from the same place. You don't necessarily have somewhere to sit down and you aren't waited on by someone who comes and asks you for your order. So the advantages of this, we don't need very many staff. We can serve people really quickly and it's easier for customers to get whilst they're out and about. So basically if I'm out and I'm hungry and I want something fast, I can get it really easily. In terms of disadvantages, you need quite a lot of expensive equipment like fryers. It's expensive rent because often they're on a high street and we don't have very many menu options. Other problems with fast food service is that sometimes it can be quite messy and quite untidy. In terms of self-service is a little bit like the school canteen, but instead of being served, you actually get all the food yourself. So this is a little bit like a buffet, okay? So we serve food to ourselves. In terms of advantages, we don't need very many staff at all. Customers don't have to queue for their food and we can have as much as we want. The problems as a business is it's very hard to predict exactly what people are going to like. So often we might run out of a certain food. All right, and the role, if you like, of a waiter within something like a self or a buffet service is to basically top up the foods and make sure that the customers are having a good time. So you ask all the normal questions that a waiter would ask, but in real terms, the more you're doing is fetching, carrying, and replenishing of foods. With takeaway service at the bottom of your page, really, that's just the same as fast food service, okay? So when you're revising those, just think of them as the same thing. The next one is waited service. Waited service is your typical kind of service you're going to get within a pub. It's where someone comes to your table, someone takes orders, they then go and get the food, and then they come back, and all the food is delivered on a plate, okay? So this is the most common form of service, and this is the most likely question that you'll get within the exam. So when they refer to a waiter in the exam, most of the time they're talking about plated service. Our key advantages is that every plate looks the same. So it's easy to dish up within the kitchen. It's fast, it's efficient. We don't really require much training because the actual waiters themselves don't really need a great deal of skill other than fetching and carrying. Some of the problems with this is that, you know, we actually have a lot of time taken up in the kitchen within the plating up of the food because the staff are not well trained, because they're not necessarily highly skilled. There can be some problems at the table, and this can lead to like a lack of entertainment, if you like, and therefore customers may not pay as much for the meal because they might perceive the service to be lower within quality. Gueridon service, on the other hand, is like completely opposite. So it's highly entertaining. Gueridon service is where they cook some food at your table. It's where you've got that element of service, that element of excitement. So they might be flambéing. That means to set on fire, to ignite in alcohol. They might set on something on fire in front of you as a form of entertainment. They might also do things like slicing and carving of meats and foods at your table. And the idea being is it's like a personal chef. So it's really impressive. It's highly entertaining. But the problem with this is that health and safety wise, this can be a problem. Also, they're really expensive, our Gueridon waiters. And in terms of the sort of the training that they would need, it's quite substantial in order to reach the standard that would be expected. Buffet service, which we've already mentioned. One of the great things about it is that everybody pays a fixed price. People get exactly what they want. In terms of advantages to a business, we don't need very much. Don't need very many staff. Okay, so it keeps the price really low. Right, the food can be hot and cold, and the customers can get exactly what they want. The disadvantages is that we lose a lot of space in the restaurant to set out the food. Right, which could be used for table space to serve customers. It's very difficult to work out the portion sizes. And again, if you go back to your previous page on self-service, you need to think of self-service and buffet service as pretty much the same thing. Okay, our last three that are on page 5, carvery service. Most of you guys will have been for a carvery. This is where you go and you're given a set amount of meat, okay, by someone who's going to carve the meat, and then you can help yourself to as much sort of vegetables, potatoes, and gravy as you like, okay? So it's very, very simple, very few staff. Everyone pays a fixed price and they get exactly what they want. The disadvantages is we've got to keep that food hot for a long period of time. So we might end up, you know, throwing quite a lot of food away. We've got to employ staff to carve the actual joint of meat. And in terms of actual amount of choice, the customers don't really get a great deal because in essence, it's a roast dinner. And the only thing that they really get to choose is what vegetables they want and what meat they have. Okay, vended service. You guys should know about vending machines. Vending machines cover, obviously, things like cans of Coke and crisps, but they also cover things like hot drinks. So in terms of advantages to businesses, they don't need any staff at all because just one person fills them up every now and then. It's quick, it's easy, it's very hygienic. They can be used at any time of the day. So if you're in a hospital and you want a hot drink at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can still get one. The disadvantages is that they have to be stocked every now and then. And obviously, if the machine breaks, then no one's going to get any food whatsoever. Also, there's obviously very limited choice. The last example that's listed is travel service. Okay, and travel service is when you're on a train or on a plane. These are often small, individually portioned meals that are served by someone on a trolley. Okay, it's either cooked elsewhere or it's served cold. Sometimes it's reheated for you on the plane, but it's never cooked on the plane, okay? So the food itself, if you like, is very, very basic, okay? You've got quite small portions. We've got very small food wastage, but often the customers don't necessarily like what they're having. They don't have a choice. It's not freshly cooked, so it isn't necessarily good quality. One major advantage, though, is that customers, when they're booking their flight, can actually stay in advance if they have a special diet and therefore pre-order exactly what they want. Now, when you're revising these, obviously you need to bear in mind, firstly, that there are obviously advantages and disadvantages, okay, to the actual each type of service. So your sorts of questions that you might get might be things like state the advantages and disadvantages of a specific form of service. Other sorts of questions you might get in the exam might be things like asking you to state a type of service that would be suitable for a given scenario. Yeah. So, for example, Billy and Sally are organising a wedding. Which form of service would you choose and why? Or what would be the advantages to choosing buffet service within a busy hotel? So you've got to be able to take those advantages and disadvantages and apply them within an answer. Okay, now's probably a good time to take a bit of a pause and have a little work through the questions on page 6 and 7. Also, you can have a look at section 1 on the revision PowerPoint just to have a go at some of the questions that I've put within the revision squares as well. Okay, the last part of section 1 is to do with job roles in catering. Now, you've had lessons where you've learnt about the restaurant brigade and the kitchen brigade, okay? So let's have a clear distinction to start with, all right? The restaurant brigade refers to the front of house staff. These are the waiting staff, the ones that provide a service, okay? The kitchen staff are the people in the back of the kitchen, of the back of the restaurant, and these are the people who do the cooking. These are the people that do the cleaning, all right? So there's a very clear distinction. So if you get a question that asks about communication within a restaurant, it is referring to front of house staff, okay, not chefs. So what we're going to do, we're going to start off with the chefs first of all right? In your book on page 8, you'll see some information about managers, okay? The manager's job is just to oversee what goes on within a company, okay? So we're not going to worry about that too much. We're going to focus on the actual chefs, all right? And within your notes, you should have had a lesson at some stage that goes through the responsibilities of a head chef, all right? Things like overseeing the quality of food production, tasting food before it goes out, managing and training other staff, supervising all the different things that they do, planning menus, buying in ingredients, organizing the purchase of ingredients, costing out menus, costing out dishes to provide profit and profit margins, all right? Maybe even things like organizing cleaning rotas, sorting out health and safety things, purchasing equipment, okay? And obviously they hire and fire staff within the kitchen. So that's the head chef. Remember to focus on the head chef as a kind of manager and not necessarily as a cook. Okay, the sous chef or second chef, they're second in charge. They take over when the head chef is away, all right? They're responsible for the day-to-day running of a kitchen and they assist the head chef within the roles that they do. Okay, now we've got on page 9 lots of different types of chefs, and what my advice would be is to look at the different types of chefs and to have a little definition for each one. But for the sous chef, have a little bit more information on your revision card, and for the head chef, you want to try and come up with lots and lots of examples. And actually, they've only given 3 points within their answer on page 8, so I suggest going into your actual exercise book and getting down some more examples, because you'll find much more. Now notice on page 9, they've not actually gone for many of the French names that we've actually looked at in class. So your chef de partie is your head of sections, okay? Here we've got things like pastry chef, vegetable chef, larder chef, sauce chef. Now you've actually learnt some of the French names for these, but don't worry, that's not a problem, okay? It's not necessarily enormously relevant, but the key thing is that you go down through each type of chef and you understand what they mean, and you can give examples of chef de partie, which are head of sections. One specific one to note would be the assistant chef or the commis chef, and that is someone who assists other people within a kitchen, right? They are one up from an apprentice chef, so someone who's learning the trade, okay? But an assistant chef is someone who supports the work of someone else. So let's take, for example, something like a vegetable chef. Their commis chef might be involved in peeling and chopping, okay? Whilst the person who's head of that section might be in charge of actually cooking those vegetables and then bringing them up to the pass to the head chef. Okay, now, when you look at the piece of information at the bottom of page 9, it will talk about chefs in different catering establishments, okay? And obviously, what it is alluding to at the bottom there is that the more fancy the restaurant or the larger the establishment, the greater the number of chefs that you will actually have, all right? So your local pub might only actually have one person in the kitchen, whereas a large hotel serving 400 or 500 guests might have as many as 30 to 40 people within the kitchen working at any one time, okay? So you can have an absolutely massive kitchen. Even Gordon Ramsay's restaurant has approximately 20 staff, and yet they only serve about 100 customers. So you can see there's a high ratio of staff to customers within a fine dining establishment. Okay, so I talked about kitchen and restaurant in terms of the two brigades. The front of house brigade is obviously managed by the restaurant manager, whereas the kitchen is managed by the head chef. So the restaurant manager is responsible for the standard of service within the actual restaurant. Okay, so again, thinking about the same sort of things that a head chef does, this is things like decor, the rota of staff, hiring and firing, training of people. Okay, they might also be responsible for health and safety, looking at bookings, looking at how clean and how tidy the establishment is. Okay, so a really good revision activity is to actually look at a head chef and compare them to a restaurant manager, because lots of the headings are the same. So if you learn those headings, you're therefore far more likely to be able to reproduce them, regardless of what the question is within the exam. Okay, a head waiter or maitre d' is responsible for meeting and greeting at the front of the restaurant. These are the people who actually say, "Yes, madam, I've got a table booking for four for you. Can you go, please wait a moment and then I'll show you to your table." All right. So they also train and develop all the other staff and sometimes have to handle customer complaints. Obviously, the other people that do customer complaints are things like the restaurant manager and obviously sometimes the head chef as well. Okay, a wine waiter or sommelier is the person who advises on what drinks are going to go with specific foods. Okay, so they actually, the person that buys in all the wine, and they advise individual customers who are having certain dishes to choose certain wines to go with that dish. It's a highly skilled job and isn't necessarily as relevant in a pub or a situation like that, but within a fine dining restaurant, a sommelier is a very important role. Then we've got our normal waiters, which are our station waiters that are head of a section. Okay, we've got our assistant waiters, just like we've got our assistant chefs, all right, that maybe work within smaller areas. But in essence, every single member of the waiting staff is responsible for serving customers food, taking orders, dealing with complaints, and just making sure that everybody is having a great time. The last element of the job roles within Section 1 refers to full-time, part-time, and casual staff. All right, and it just goes through the difference between certain members of staff in terms of what they would expect within their job and within their contract. And these are quite unusual questions, but I would have a read through. We did have a question a couple of years ago about casual staff, right? So maybe have a little read of that section because it sometimes can come up. Okay, now lastly, there's a little section at the bottom of page 11 that refers to training, okay? And this is obviously the training that people would go through in order to prepare them to work within the hospitality industry. And this is things like attending training courses. It might be that they're doing some work experience. Sometimes it might be that they're actually trained on the job, which is called in-house training. And sometimes they might be released to go to college for a day, again, to do some more training. Okay, typical questions that relate to staff might be things like, what are the skills of a restaurant manager? What are the typical jobs you would expect a head chef to do? You sometimes also get questions that are relating to communication, and we're going to cover that later on. So, for example, how do these staff communicate with each other effectively? How does a head chef or a restaurant manager demonstrate effective leadership? All right, but these are things that we're going to cover later on within the book, but they are, again, very typical questions that you could expect from an exam. Okay, now that you've finished this first chapter, chapter one, have a little go at the questions on page 12 and page 13 within your revision guide, and then return to the revision squares that you found on section one within the PowerPoint that I've provided, and test yourself against as many of the 25 questions as you can.